Welcome back to the Telosa Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're all having a fantastic Friday. This is going to be my last episode for
3 years.
This show drops on Saturday.
Oh.
We hope you're having a good Saturday.
Right.
What do you mean last episode for 3 years?
Taking a break.
The hostile takeover is working.
Well,
for taking
years?
A trip.
That's
yes.
I am taking. Yes. There's a high likelihood I won't make it back. So
We finally did it,
Nick.
We now have one of the two MacBook Pro lovers of this show is leaving permanently.
Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
We'll have an even 50-50 split next week.
Who would have thought we would have been here? Not me. I didn't think we'd get here. Not me.
Not me.
Look at us. Who would have thought? Not me.
Wow.
All right. So you could tell by that intro, Nick is not excited about the MacBook still. No amount of reviews is going to change this dude's mind. He is. Nick, I have to ask.
No reviews will change him.
You can answer however you feel appropriate. Are you just playing it up for the show, or do you really have a fundamental issue with this MacBook? I need to know.
All right. Well, I will repeat myself.
It's good for you to wait till
again,
we're recording.
Randy.
I don't like it when you have to repeat yourself.
The M1 Pro and the M1 Max chips look great. I am perfectly content with the M1 chip, though, for my current workflow. Now, if I upgrade cameras that will record, 4K at 160 frames a second ProRes, then M1 Pro is going to be my next computer. M1 Max is going to be my next computer. However, I hate the new design. It looks fat, chunky, ugly. It has a bunch of ugly ports. And it does not have the world's best input device, the Touch Bar. And so it is not a good computer objectively. Anyone who's telling you differently is lying to you, specifically a guy named Talosiv Trek or something. Talosiv Trek, I think he's a Star Trek fan. Terrible human being, honestly, on like a personal level. So because of that, I am waiting for hopefully one of these chips is going to come in a device that is not the MacBook Pro. Fairly soon. I'm really holding out for something in springtime, maybe like Mac Pro or iMac Pro come springtime. I would love that. Any kind of device that has the chips, but not the ugly computer, because that computer's ugly.
I want someone to have the iMac Pro is going to have the ugly ports too, but I want someone to have the iMac Pro, and I don't want to. So Nick could be the next big, he can review the iMac Pro for us when it comes out.
And I will say, I did watch a...
That should be interesting.
I think it was Max Tech did the M1 Pro to M1 Max comparison, direct comparison on 16-inch MacBook Pros. The M1 Pro chip is... M1 Max chip... Golly, names. I hate these names. The M1 Max chip is not as good as I was thinking it would be. For having double the amount of GPU power... It really, seeming by his test, I think it's about 30% better graphics performance than the M1 Pro chip. That's a question mark in my mind whether or not I'd ever get the Max, and maybe the Pro would be enough, but I really hate the laptop design. It is an ugly laptop. And the more I see it around on Twitter and the internet, I throw up in my mouth every time. And if I end up upgrading my cameras for work before the new computers drop, I'm going to be so sad when I have to drop $3,000 on the world's ugliest computer.
No. That is amazing.
I know exactly what it feels like, Nick. I've been in your exact same situation.
Sorry, Drew. I retract everything I ever said about the 24-inch MacBook Pro, because Apple sucks now and it's your fault.
Oh,
talking to you, Tim.
I'm just glad that if there was one, let's say it's a law of the universe, that one MacBook had to be beautiful and everything you wanted, and one Mac had to be ugly and disgusting, I would have picked the entry-level iMac to be the ugly, disgusting one, and the MacBook Pro to be beautiful and exceed my expectations. Mm-hmm. So it feels like Apple's making up for my disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I was so upset about the 24-inch iMac. But now I have forgiven
them because
the MacBook Pro is everything I could have wanted. Favorite Apple product by far.
Ooh, that's a high.
Not even making the decent product list of the year list award for Nick. Sorry.
Wow.
I want to see what made the decent
maybe
product.
Maybe I'm
list.
Just...
AirPods 3 made the decent product of the year list for Nick.
You never even listened to
You know
to
how I'm Craig sexual? Well, maybe if there's a word, I'm...
Yeah.
I'm byproduct dull. Like, I love all the products. I love the iMac design. I love the MacBook design. It's all I love over here, baby. Everything's great. I disagree with both of you for different reasons, and I agree with both of you for different reasons. But I'm over here like, it's maybe I'm the blinded Apple sheep now because I find the 24-inch iMac beautiful. Yeah. I find the elegance of the new MacBook Pros completely industrial, and it's another callback. It, just like the iMacs are a callback. This is the old chassis in a new design that's more modern. And I just love all of it. I love the colors. You name it. Everything Apple did this year was hot. Sexy.
I think it's all downhill from here. I've got the dream MacBook. I've got my dream phone. I love my watch.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's going to... I think we're in for a very boring 2022 unless we get some... AR glasses
miraculously,
but
I don't know. 2021 is the new 2018. It's hard to be. I don't know how we can top this.
I think it will be hard to top, for me at least. Finding reasons to upgrade is going to be difficult. Obviously, if they add things, I'd like a 4K at 60 cinematic mode. I won't upgrade for it, but that would be nice. That would be cool.
I think 2022 we'll see 2.1 new HDMI. I think we'll see that. I think there's too much.
Oh my gosh! Don't you even?
I
say
guarantee.
That.
I guarantee. No. In fact, I guarantee. I do. No. I guarantee it. I no. guarantee it.
No.
You want to make a wager?
No.
I think there's a chance there won't be any new MacBook Pros next year.
It's coming on something.
It'll be like there was no MacBook Air this year.
Mac Mini was this year or last year?
Last
so,
year.
So the Mac
last
Mini will have HDMI 2.1.
So similar to.
No, it doesn't. It has 2.0.
No, I'm saying it will have it.
Maybe.
Oh.
It will, he's saying. Maybe if they refresh the Mac Mini next year, but I'm still convinced that they don't want to refresh it. They think it'll sell too well, so they're intentionally going to just give it the same CPU and GPU as the MacBook Air and not give it anything more than that. They're like, if you want power... You need a iMac or a MacBook. You can't get it in a little tower because that would
be
too easy.
Do you have a pet, Nick?
That would sell way too well.
Do you have a pet?
Oh my gosh! The dumb birds are fighting over the tree outside.
Okay, I'm like, it is so in my hair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on?
I can just. That's.
I was wondering who it was. I was like, maybe Randy got a parrot. Maybe Nick got a parrot.
I'm going to go shush it away again.
Bird is the word. Okay, well, when Nick is doing that, I want to...
So, go ahead. AirPods 3 are gone. I'm back to AirPods Pro, I assume.
Same.
You are as well.
In fact, at some point during this show, maybe, I'm expecting my phone tips. I ordered some phone tips. I want to see if it fixes my one issue I have with AirPods Pro. Because...
I'm really curious about that. Because I've heard a lot of people have great experience with the foam tips. Only reason I haven't got them is because these are like 2 years old. And I'm paranoid that the second gen AirPods Pro, which will probably launch in the next 6 months or so, will have a different connection.
I suspect, if you were to get them on Amazon for like 12, 13 bucks is what I see them as.
Yeah.
That's a dollar amount I am willing to pay for how often I use these. This is probably my most used accessory that I have. It is a
wow.
It's also a genuine like business expense too in that sense too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't a write-off.
So I mean I'm willing to eat the cost of like $20 or whatever for the foam tips to see if it's worth it. Because I think we will get a new design suction for the pros as well. You're paranoid. I tend to believe it because of this rumored redesign that we would have with the no stem here. I think you're still gonna.
I hope that's not real.
I do too. I hope it's not because I want as much battery as possible, especially because I just, I have an issue with this 10S and 10R mentality that AirPods 3 has the best battery, but it's a objectively worst hardware product as opposed to the AirPods Pro. And the AirPods Pro give you so much more, and it has the worst.
Like, the more you pay, you should have better battery.
And they corrected that issue for the iPhone 11 Pro, and I want them to correct that issue again for AirPods, because AirPods Pro, $200 plus, assuming there's no discounts or whatever, that should have, like, you should get your money's worth out of it. And right now, I just don't, I feel biased only because of having my AirPods replaced recently. So I'm biased about, like, oh yeah, I can rock these. I'll get the new foam suction tips, whatever. Like, I'm treating them like brand new AirPods, because minus the case they are. But if that wasn't the case and I was still rocking the same everything, I would be like, yeah, this kind of sucks right now when everything else is caught up. So it's AirPods Pro's turn to get some TLC, and give us something. I don't know. It needs to differentiate itself a little bit more. Besides ANC and transparency being phenomenal, that's it. Like, everything else has caught up. So the only way AirPods Pro is better is because you have AirPods Max over $500, which just drive the sales of the Pros more. Ugh. So that's the only reason why I think they're so effectively placed right now. But if you took AirPods Max out of the equation, I don't know if this is the right move right now for people to get AirPods Pro. I would recommend telling people to wait.
No, I don't either. Yeah, I would too. Well, especially if you need to get one now, just get them on sale. But I was surprised when I ran the poll. I was like, which AirPods fit your ear best? And AirPods 3 was dead last. Like, most people did not have a good fit with AirPods 3, which is funny because I was just in the middle of watching Snazzy Labs' review, and he was talking about how, like, he's an audiophile, hardcore, through and through, and he's detailing how much better they sound. And it's funny to me because I can genuinely, like, without lying, put in AirPods 2 and put in AirPods 3 and say, I think the two sound better. And then I hear someone say, this is just bad. This is objectively worse. And these are not subjective.
And then Snazzy Labs goes on.
This is factually better.
Yeah, he's praising it. And then he goes on to say, I can't recommend the AirPods 3 to anybody. Like, I'm having a hard time recommending this.
Just because the Pros are so good and you can get them for cheap, I think, is the main reason. But still, he was like, this bigger bulb, like, is a more direct and it's a better way to fit in the ear. And I'm seeing all these polls of people saying, like, no, I don't like the way they fit.
I don't think
they're like, nah. There were more people saying the original AirPods design.
I don't think Quinn can say it's objectively better if ears are different and people are having better. Like, I want to agree with him, but I don't have a good fit. And that does not make it objectively better now. It can't. That's not. I don't think you're using the word right.
No, I don't think it was more so about the fit. The more sound? So just the audio levels and the sound quality, which I'm still of the boat, mostly because of myself preferring the AirPods 2 sound. I'm still like, no, I think some people might like McDonald's over a $100 steak at a restaurant. You know, there's people that would still rather.
That's only because the McRib is back right now. So, you know. I don't disagree with you right now.
Today's sponsor. I haven't been to McDonald's in like
a year. Well, now's a great time. You got the McRib.
Yeah. I'll miss the MagSafe case, though.
That was very cool.
I want that.
Do you think the consensus is, because I've been thinking about this now since we last talked about it. I think the consensus is AirPods 2 have to be a worse in every way type of form to keep the cost somewhat low now, and just so you can have that tagline of starting at $129. But that means there's not going to be any more TLC, any different than like the iPhone SE being the cheapest iPhone and they don't really get the same attention towards it. But it gives you, hey, we have it starting at so-and-so through, and I think AirPods 2 is just going to quietly have a have an AirPod, an iPod type of life where they're just going to be there by name only.
Yeah, iPod Touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think for so many people, the fit is so good that it's really worth Apple keeping it around. I know they probably won't, but I would love them to still give it some TLC, give it some love, give it some updates or better battery life, or just as long as you can keep that design the same. I could see a ton of people still opting for that, but it doesn't look good. Wouldn't be shocked if one of these years they just get rid of it entirely and say, nah, three, that's the yeah. entry price now.
Yeah. So.
That made your decent list, Nick. What's favorite Apple product of the year for you?
Well, Fitness Plus finally coming out was a big deal for me.
Was that this year?
I don't remember. I remember it announced in like October, but it was a few months before it was out. Okay. It might have been like February or December or November or something. Anyway, I don't know. Mm. I haven't really loved much of the tech this year. I don't know. I feel like iPhone was like, yeah, okay. Apple Watch was garbage. Actually, okay, I will say the orange HomePod minis, I'm actually quite excited about them. I have two out for delivery right now.
Did you order them?
I did. So, actually, I've kind of stopped following most of the Apple stuff on Twitter because, you know, space is a thing. And I didn't understand that they were out. And so I think it was November 3rd. I was just driving home and I was like, I wonder if those, because they said November, right? I was like, I better make sure that all my shipping stuff is all ready, because I had a problem with that last time I did it. And so that was in my mind. So when I got home, I got out the Apple Store app, and I had like, I don't know, $10,000 worth of MacBook Pros that I was specking out in my cart. So I cleared all those out to be ready, right? I was like, I'm going to be ready for this pre-order whenever this happens in November. And so I went onto the homepage, and it's like, oh, HomePod Minis now available in 5 colors. And I was like, oh, yeah. But 3 of them are still not available until November. So I was like, I wonder if it's fessed up to a date. So I clicked on it, and I clicked the orange one, and it was like, put in cart. I was like, oh, so I missed it. Bummer. Wonder how many months these are delayed. And so for some reason, nobody likes the orange one, because the blue one and the yellow one were out to December, but the orange one was available shipping today. And so I was like, bully for me. I got two of them, and they will be replacing the two black HomePod minis over there because my accent color is vibrant orange.
So what are you going to do with your old HomePod?
One of them is probably going to go on my nightstand, and I haven't decided about the other one. It's going somewhere though, so we'll really rock out.
You could play catch with it with a dog.
Ooh,
or something.
That's a very good use of $99. Well, $91, because I got those open box at Best Buy.
Oh, that's true. Open box. That's probably the best way to get a HomePod anyway.
Totally. But no, orange.
I will.
So orange HomePod minis, I will admit, get my product of the year award. Congratulations.
If they brought Spotify streaming to the HomePod, I would be much more interested, because these Google speakers suck. We keep using them.
Oh, you don't say.
But they are garbage. Not sound quality. Sound quality is okay, but they just
steal all your data.
I'm so annoyed whenever
I
hear people say they can steal all my data. I don't care about that. I just want them to do what I want. Steal the information you need to actually do what I ask you to. I'm so annoyed all day hearing people say Siri sucks and Google Assistant is miles ahead, because Google keeps making these dumb responses or randomly goes off for no reason. There's like, my wife is working in her office and the door's closed. I'm working in my office and the door closed, and the speaker will just start talking to itself. And then when we go out there,
sounds like me.
Say, hey, it'll just be like, well, I can't find out a way to do that. Or we'll be randomly having a conversation in the kitchen, and it'll just be like, I can't connect to the Wi-Fi right now. And nothing else has gone wrong. Like, the HomePod doesn't do that. My phones aren't dropping Wi-Fi signal. I know that's not a Starlink thing. It's just the Home Max just randomly is like, I don't know what I can't answer any questions. It's like, oh, just wait like 5 seconds and then reconnect. Or we'll call out to it, hey, this, and it won't hear us until like the fourth time. And then when it does, it'll play like a completely different song from what my wife requested. She has a skill for this. I got to admit, she will know exactly what songs Google doesn't know how to play. It's honestly kind of amazing. She'll just be like, play this song. And we pull it up on YouTube and it's right there. It's like the first result. But if you ask the speaker to do it, they won't do it. It's like... Also, when she sneezes or coughs, the Nest Mini lights come on. It's really weird.
Louise, just be like, you have COVID-19.
The lights come on. I don't know why it does that, but it doesn't like stay on very long. But the lights
will just like
be
like that.
When it detects a sound.
That's funny. You say the
bizarre,
Google speaker
doesn't
has a hard time hearing you. And I'm over here, like, I'm trying to talk to my iPad, and I'll see, you know, Siri turn off my studio lights or whatever. And I hear in the far distance, I'm sorry, but I'm not connected to the home at this time. You have to be like, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this.
Right. That keeps happening with the speaker. We'll talk to the speaker in the kitchen and the one in the bathroom. Maybe it's because our house is too small. That's the problem. But... the one in the bathroom will hear us and start playing music in the bathroom, even though we're like 2 feet from the kitchen speaker. So I don't recall having this many issues with the HomePod.
Because you didn't.
But I think it's just kind of established to me that I don't care about digital assistants, and I don't think most people do.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is... I might be overstepping my bounds here, but I don't think average consumers genuinely care about... how good the Google Assistant or how good Cortana or Alexa or Siri is, because year after year, the best-selling phones have the worst digital assistants. So Apple has spent so little screen time and stage time talking about how good Siri is, but they've had a great year financially. You know, people buy a crap ton of their stuff. I hear the HomePod Mini is selling well. Granted, yes, I'll admit, Siri is not the best digital assistant, but by no means is Google Assistant good. Like, this is coming from someone who uses it every day. Like, they all kind of suck. All of them should know basic things or be better by now. We've been doing this digital assistant thing for years, and it's not helpful. I don't care about it, and I couldn't care less about what assistant is in each speaker. It's like they all cover the basics, but then you always need to pull out a phone to do everything else. So,
I try to get those Siri shortcuts locked in.
I'm kind of over it.
So that way it can be tailored to my needs. And in that sense, I think I like Siri more because I can make it more customizable to how I want to interact with the with the AI, I guess. But the thing is, we talked about this actually before. Because Nick uses Siri differently than I do, and
yell at it.
Well, yes. Outside of that, you do. I've noticed you've done most of your things on your watch. You'll talk on your watch as your primary.
Not anymore.
Well, back then you did, and I'm over here like, give me a tactile button to turn off these lights, but I can't. Every light that's on right now in this office is controlled by Siri, and I don't like it. I like to have a hard switch. And
That's a smart bulb. I don't use it. I just flip it off.
Yeah. So how do you do it, Nick? If you don't talk to Siri on your watch anymore, do you talk to Siri at all?
Yeah. So I also ran into the too many cooks in the kitchen problem once I got the HomePod.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
So I decided I'd turn off the Hello Siri function on all my devices and just use the HomePod for the Hello Siri function. That seems to work fairly well. The only time that I really miss it is when I'm driving. I was normally pretty used to just being able to say, Hello Siri, you know, do this or that, and it's off on my phone. And there's no way to geotag that setting. And so I, you know, just have to press and hold the button on my phone. Not a big deal. Technically not hands-free anymore, but whatever. That's how we all used to do it. So that's how I currently do it. I guess it works. I don't really use Siri for very much anymore. I mean, even for like setting alarms and stuff, like I used to, you know, have Siri when I had a out of regular schedule morning that I needed to wake up early or whatever. I'd normally just say, Hey Siri, wake me up whenever that is. Sorry. Hello Siri, wake me up whenever that is. But once I got the HomePods, I'd be, you know, in my bedroom, and somehow the HomePod would hear me, and the home would be like, okay, I've set your alarm for blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all right, great. I did that one night. I was like, all right, I guess the HomePod wakes me up this morning. At the exact time it needs to wake me up, it goes, it's just like the world's largest alarm, and I'm just like groggy, crawling out of bed, walking into the living room. What is going on here? Turn off, turn off. Just like Siri's not intelligent enough to notice what device I would like it to be happening on, whether or not I'm talking to the device that I want it to do something on is irrelevant. And sometimes it does it, you know, when I'm like, you know, hello Siri on my phone, play whatever playlist in the whole house. You know, that is pretty smart. It's able to say, oh, I'm going to play it on all the HomePods in the house. Great. That works. But for some reason, setting an alarm, if I tell the HomePod to set an alarm, it's going to be the HomePod that sets the alarm, not like some universal clipboard version of an alarm where it just goes off on the one device that I am using or last used or my phone. Like if I can just say, I only use my phone to wake up. I don't use a HomePod because there's no nice little gentle wake up on the HomePod. It's just alarm noise. Yeah. Anyway. What was the question?
Yeah, I think like I don't know if I asked one, but like the I would argue the phone with the best digital assistant is probably the Pixel, and look how that's selling. You know, like it's not outselling Samsung with Bixby. I think they ditched Bixby now. Did they?
I hope.
Can't remember. They had S Voice for a while, and then they had Bixby. And now they're just giving up, gone with Google because, you know, no one could beat it. But the phones with the best, smartest, like, digital assistants don't sell that great. So it's like, I don't think that's what people are looking for in phones as much as the tech community likes talking about it because it's interesting. And I also think there's like a... There's a very loud... Okay, it's gone.
All right, that's not going to work.
I don't know what that was.
Technical difficulties. Should I stop? No, just keep going. I'll mute myself.
Oh, okay.
Technical difficulties.
All right. I think there's a mental exercise that people just like, they don't want to explain things to technology. They just want to, they want the tech to do it. And I think much more people would rather interact with a screen and specify, like, take this app here or execute this feature here. That's just easier, like, than articulating. I think articulating is not intuitive for most people. Because one issue I've noticed, Louise has a lot, that Google, with all of its intelligence and mastermind smartness, it's not able to tell very well when someone says something and then makes a mistake and corrects themselves. Something like, play that, you know, it tries to take everything into account, and it's like, oh, okay, they said this, so I have to account for that. It's not very good at picking up, okay, this person is correcting themselves, they need to ignore what they said before and take the latest thing they said into account. And when people know that they're talking to a non-human, basically like a robot, they feel like this pressure to get it right. They're just like,
yeah,
okay, what do I want? Let me articulate this right. Okay, play this song. And there's like that anxiety that comes with hoping it gets it right just results in people not wanting to do it at all. So that's why even smart speakers with not that great digital assistants will sell very well, because people don't care. It doesn't matter. And I love the sound quality of the HomePod Mini. Of all the small speakers I've heard, that one's definitely been the best, which makes sense. It costs the most. But I'm glad there's colors. I just wanted more AirPod colors. That would have been nice. Guess I can't go in that direction. HomePod doesn't fall in that
Nick,
iconic argument.
That hold AirPods the mic away from your nose because there's air.
My. Yeah.
Just then, you know. I can hear you good, so I'm assuming if this is what's being recorded, I can hear air. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound great.
I can install my pop filter. I'll just have to remember to do extra editing.
There's actually a really intuitive, simple, minimal microphone setup that has worked fairly reliably for me in the past week or so.
What was that? I'd love to recommend it. That you used to record your podcast the other week, and I was like bleeding as I was trying to listen
to it.
You were literally the only person who complained.
Dude, because I had to hear what it sounded like at the beginning, and I fixed it.
Wait, what happened? What happened?
No, I've live streamed with this.
What did you hear?
Never once have I gotten a complaint.
Well.
Except from Nick.
I am your biggest complainer or fan or something.
He's the one person. Well, I won't complain about your mic.
Well, I only complain about your mic. He has a Model Y, though, so we'll have to give him a pass on that. Randy's mic is cool, though. Randy's mic's into space. So.
My mic.
That's funny. That's great. My mic is cool.
Into space.
Oh, my God. Okay, so guys, I got a question for you. It's an AppleCare Plus question, but
ooh, yes.
No.
I have recently dropped my 13 Pro. Wait.
Oh,
wait.
No.
Really? Hold on. I thought you were the one who didn't abuse his product.
I dropped mine too, but it's fine.
It's lightly scuffed at worst. But I can feel this, like, it's almost like cutting into my finger now with the stainless steel. I'm still within.
So what you do is you get a Dremel and then you round it off, make it nice and smooth.
Right now, I'm still within the warranty of being able to get AppleCare Plus, but I think I can just swap it out. What should I do? I want to fix this.
First of all, don't bring it up publicly.
Yeah.
Never mind. Let's talk later. Let's talk later.
No, secondly, it doesn't matter. They don't care. Secondly, how much is AppleCare Plus?
It's $150, I think, now. They upped it a little bit.
So I assume that means he could spend the $150 and then he would get a brand new phone.
No, and then you have to spend $99 on a replacement.
Oh.
Because...
So it's $250.
Yes, $250 for a replacement, basically, Randy. Okay. And then an extra $100 for the second replacement, and then after the third one, it gets pretty expensive. It's not quite the regular rate, but I think after the second on the third one, after the second one, it's more expensive.
I want to fix this. That's a tough call. But I thought I could be also in a window where I can sell it and just get a 13 Pro Max.
Oh.
Mm.
Correct the mistake of your ways.
Yes.
See.
I
follow the advice of Nick, who said that one time, and all three of you were like, including Mike, was like, "No, you don't need a Pro Max. You just need a Pro."
I mean, I love the phone, but the thing is, I treat this phone like a camera first. I've noticed my habits changing, and I want a better screen display for filming, and I like, and also just taking photos, not just all film. I'm having so much fun taking a lot of photos, and I like the battery bank that came with the 13 Pro Max. And this one, I still get a full day's worth, but with the 13 Pro Max, I was going to sleep at like maybe at worst 45%. Whereas here, if I
It is.
With the 13 Pro, battery. I go to bed and I'm like sitting at maybe 27-28%. I'm like, all right, well, that's still fine. I never get the low battery indicator, but I'm just like, and that's me on the days I'm pushing it, but I like all the tech. Because the thing is, I know why I wouldn't upgrade. Like, what are my driving forces for upgrading next year? Have nothing to do with ProRes at all. I don't use it. I don't care for it. I know where I fit in that bracket of content creation. Nobody gives a hell what I am filming with quality of it. And actually, I've used the Sony still for a lot of those things. So it's not it's not my main camera. It's not my main everything. But it is my main photo camera and short you know, Instagram clips or mm-hmm. what have you. ProRes is not on the table. So I don't care about ProRes like that. Hmm. So
I've lost cinematic interest mode in it as well. I should have got
the 128. You should have got 128. Yeah.
Yeah. I've toyed around. I'm doing more of a deep dive now to compare ProRes and normal recording, and it's pretty bad. It's basically like, this is video from the iPhone. This is video on the iPhone that's 10 times the storage.
It's the and same. It's like,
is there a difference?
Yeah.
Barely. Basically, when I shot in ProRes, everyone thought I just turned up the sharpening tool. But it was the same.
That's funny.
Everyone was like, you sharpened it too much.
And I
was like,
you sharpened it too much.
So, it just makes things like slightly more crispy. But no, in hindsight, I'll always know what I should have done. I didn't know what would have happened. But now that I have it, I wish I would have just saved the $100 and gone with 128.
I think you brought up a good point. Even when you find test, and this is what you were speculating too, is that like it's still an iPhone camera, so it still has that same iPhone Apple like look to it. And I'm like, okay, then I'm not losing sleep one way or another, and I don't care about ProRes like that. It's not the deal breaker. Cinematic mode is great, but if I wanted 60 frames, the things that I would use it for slow-mo, like I would do it so I can slow things down on my side. I know your default is filming at the higher frame rate, but honestly, I find the regular natural bokeh with the aperture, the new aperture now, to be more than enough and okay. So it's cool, and it's a software thing. It can just get better over time the way iPhone 7 Plus got better over time with its portrait. So I'm not stressed about that. So maybe I would be in a position to not upgrade next year, but I just don't trust myself anymore about not falling for the marketing as I realized this year. So treat the phone as if like it's the only phone I'm gonna have for a while. Ideally, I care about battery, and objectively 13 Pro Max is the best battery we've ever seen, possibly even on all smartphones. But be that as it may, just talking iPhones here.
It's up
the
there.
Screen real estate is amazing, and the battery is amazing. I love promotion. Well,
you're a changed man.
I found myself wanting to pick when I had all the phones in front of me, and I'm like, okay, the 13 mini is so cool. I love it. It's my favorite looking one. I love the red. But when I wanted to actually do something, when I moved my SIM to the 13 mini, I still found myself grabbing the 13 Pro Max. And that's when I was like, I really like you.
Yeah.
But I thought I would be okay saving money with the regular 13 Pro, but I find myself treating it like a camera, like I'm out there taking a lot of nature photos and stuff like that. And it's not that much heavier. Like, we're nitpicking. Is it heavier? Yes. Does it really matter? It doesn't. And just to make it like newsworthy or clickbaity, be like, oh, this thing's a brick. Good. Like, next to the MacBook Pro, the new ones, no, this thing's a feather. And I don't care. I just, at the end of the day, I didn't care, but I ordered two 13 Pros on accident, so I kept the one that I never even opened for longevity. And I drop it. So now I'm like, all right, well, I can fix you, offset my cost, maybe sell it mint. I can now go on swap and sell it mint. But what I'm really trying to do is then, like, I'm trying to align myself to get the 13 Pro Max. And I don't care that I'll get it in December instead of November. And I don't care that I don't get a whole 12 months with it, because it's very well possible that I will hold on to it for... I don't have any critiques. Lightning, but me and a million other people, you know, like whatever. Yeah. I use the MagSafe Duo, so I don't care that much. I'm only saying I care to find something to nitpick about it. But I will say you guys have been and were right about the bigger form factor. It's heavy on the hand, but the phone is just no longer a phone to me anymore. It's almost like a camera first. So my mindset has changed. I have had my mind changed about the Mini. I love the Mini for what it stood, but I am a changed man on that sense. But I don't know what to do with this scratched frame. It's kind of cutting into my hand a little bit. Not to the point where it's leaving marks, but it's very aggressive. It's very sharp. And I'm like, ah, man, I don't like this. So I don't know what to do with this one.
Are you against a case? Just getting a case and covering it up?
I'm not a case guy. I tried being a case guy. I want to appreciate it. This is my favorite color. This blue is amazing. I love the blue. I love the feel. Mm.
Yeah, how's the clear case been, Nick?
Yeah.
That looks cool.
So this is actually probably my favorite case that I've purchased in a while. The white, or the clear Apple case, which is white with my phone. Mm-hmm. I would like it for a few different reasons. One is because it shows off the color that I chose so well. I love the color white. It's very transparent. The accent color of the case is white, so I feel like I got the right one. If it was black, it would be, you know, a big black circle, but it works. The other thing is it really reminds me of a certain G4 Cube in a 2000s Apple design aesthetic. Where it's like stainless steel with like a plasticky, translucent, like, over it. And I use the case because I'm out in a dusty, dirty, grimy environment where I need a case, unfortunately. I'd rather not. I'd rather be touching the beautiful stainless steel. But I need the case. And so I feel like it's pretty good case, worth the $40 in my opinion. It's definitely scratched up pretty much, and once this case gets scratched, it doesn't look as good, but it's fine, and then I can still use my little wallet thing, and it sticks pretty well. So
I give you the kudos back to you on that too, Nick. That feeling stainless steel. I don't want to have aluminum anymore. It's so
right.
I hold this.
I still do.
Almost I'm like not budging. Nick was right.
It's it just feels.
I still premium, want aluminum. Like,
I don't know. It's cool. I appreciate this for a piece of art.
My phone was dropped this week too.
Or did it get marked?
Nope.
I'm so jealous.
It was fine, but it was at a construction zone. We were helping our friends build their house, and we, you know, I came dressed with, you know, normal clothes, but then we went into a different room in the back to change into our work clothes, and as the pants were coming off, the phone just onto the wood with all like powder, because we're doing mudding on the drywall right now, and it all just loudest thing I heard that day, and I was just like, oh, okay, let's see it. And I just picked it up and wiped it off, and looks great, looks fine.
Good old ceramic shield.
Any scratches or dings? Thank you, ceramic shield. So
not a scuff on the screen.
It wasn't technically my fault.
Ceramic shield is something impressive, because when it fell, it the part that's the sharpest is the part that I made the contact first, and then it went down on gravel. I picked it up. Not a single mark. Yeah.
Oh, it was on gravel?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Ugh. That gives me anxiety. Just imagine.
I should have known better. I feel like I should have a case just for certain occasions when I'm in a predicament like that. But I love the bare aesthetic. I want to feel it. I like the frosted glass. This is my favorite phone.
Yeah, me too.
Probably ever. I love the color. I don't know.
Better than midnight green? But
the
thing
is, obviously with the watch, I want the continuity with it. If I could choose the color, obviously I would go with midnight green. But it's not about that. It's about what the phone offers. It's about what the phone does. It's about what the phone represents. And the 13 Pro Max is just the best phone, period. But best laptop ever, or best computer, whatever you said about your MacBook. Same thing about the 13 Pro Max. And I mean specifically the 13 Pro Max. That's the one I think about at night. I lay with you, but I think about her.
I'm careful where I use that term. I still used best phone ever with the iPhone 10 review, just because I feel like the number of upgrades we got in a single year would never be matched again. I was like, I don't think any phone ever will ever get a design overhaul that drastic again. Like, there were so many changes in 2017. We went from steel chassis, OLED, Face ID, no home button, dual camera, vertical dual cameras, and wireless charging.
Swipe based interface.
64 gigs base. Swipe based face interface. Portrait. Like so much all. All yeah, portrait mode on the front. So much happened all in 1 year.
Wireless charging. Well, wireless went to the
which
eight.
Is why. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't say like 13 Pro Max is the best phone all time. It's like it's the best iPhone they've ever made, and I love it, and it caters to all the things I care about. But I can understand why, to the non-techie, it doesn't feel like that big an upgrade because it's like okay, the battery got a bit better. The refresh rate is high, I guess, and there's some new camera features. So to the average consumer, it's like pretty minor. But the reason I gave MacBook like best laptop ever is because this, I think, has captivated a huge demographic with the return of the legacy ports and how many changes they did all in 1 year. I don't think we're going to get another MacBook upgrade this major again. Like, when can you find another bringing back ports that we originally removed? Now we added mini LED, now we added 120 hertz, now we switched from Intel to Apple Silicon, and the battery life's insane, the microphones are great. Like, so many upgrades all at once. That's why I call it best laptop ever. Just because, like, yes, there will be better ones technically that are faster and that may have improved port speed and that kind of thing, but I feel like this is going to be one of those like monumental step changes in the MacBook line forever that started here, and then everything is incremental for the next few years. I have a hard time visualizing what could they do.
Well, I have a list. They could take those function keys, turn them into a little OLED screen that allows you to have dynamic changing buttons. They could remove a few of the ports that no one uses. Like, oh, let me just throw a few out there.
By your logic, then they've already done it.
I know they have.
MagSafe is amazing. I haven't even seen it, but I... Yeah, MagSafe is great.
You push it vertically and it pops right off. Come on.
Yeah, but it's going to be docked most of the time.
I haven't noticed because...
Put it in your lap.
I only charge it when it's at my desk.
Try putting it in your lap, because back when MagSafe 2 was
It's stronger. The magnets are stronger now.
MacBook Air. They're stronger in one direction, but they're not in the other. So if you compare MagSafe 1 to MagSafe 2, MagSafe 2 got thin.
MagSafe 2 computers needed to be plugged in more regularly. The battery on this thing is insanely good. Sure. So
but
I've never
still
needed
hate
to
MagSafe
charge it outside of right
because USB-C
here.
Doesn't go anywhere unless you trip on it. Then
and
it
still has
out.
That, Nick.
Having MagSafe has opened up
USB-C
an additional
is still
port
there.
For you. I know, you only want one port, but...
Why?
Because everybody else would like to... I still need to have access to SD slot. I still need to have access to my Cam Link. I still need to have access to being docked. I still need to have access to my HDMI to go to my monitor. I still need my external SSD accessible. And this...
I like any included cable that's braided.
It's not even going to fray, really Nicholas. Nice. It's not even going to fray.
Did you just use my full
I
name?
I want you to understand.
Mr. Randall.
Randall.
I'm not allowed to use your name, so it's Randall.
That's not even what Randy is short Randall. For.
I know
I love
exactly.
It.
But
yeah.
I'm not allowed to use what it actually is for. So you're Randall when I'm angry at you.
It is easy to plug in with one hand.
What's easier to plug in with one hand?
I like that aspect of MagSafe. I just hold the cable up to the charger and it goes done. That's what I do with MagSafe on my phone, hopefully on AirPods.
Yeah, imagine
eventually.
If instead of a MagSafe port, you had a 4 Thunderbolt 4 port.
Okay, here's a genuine question for you, Nick. Here's what I need to know. First of all, it's funny that you're like 4 Thunderbolt port while simultaneously you don't need more than one.
I would rather
cable,
have
right?
none,
Everything
but I know that
be...
I can get more people on board with 4 Thunderbolt ports than with 3, so...
I'm not convinced you can, because tell me the use case where you need 4 Thunderbolt ports and one of them is not being used for an SD card reader, an HDMI port, or power.
Easy.
Like, what use
okay,
case?
So the M1 Pro Max, or M1 Max, dang, I hate that name so much. The M1 Max supports 2 6K Pro Display XDRs.
Three.
Okay, so you get three, you plug three of them in. Then you still need to plug in your RAID array, which is operating at, you know, 40 gigabits a second. And so you need to have your fourth Thunderbolt 4 port for that. I mean, I can't believe that pros aren't rioting that you can't plug three Pro Display XDRs and a RAID array all in at once. Like, Apple doesn't have enough ports on this computer, folks. We need more ports. See, that's the argument that y'all sound like when you make, oh, I need extra ports. It's, well, like, no, you only need the one, folks.
You could plug into the Pro Displays have additional Type-C ports.
Yeah, but those aren't full speed at 40 gigabits a second.
Neither was the 4-port MacBook Pro. They had shared speeds on each side.
Oh.
So.
Check.
That wasn't
and
possible
me.
Before. It's not possible now.
I don't like the computer, Drew. Nothing you're going to do is change
but
my mind.
But he has a question. He's asking you genuine
but
questions.
I want your argument to sound... My goal is for your argument to sound more and more ridiculous.
Oh, it already does. I know.
I
had
continue.
A whole episode where everyone did nothing but cancel me in the
and
comments.
And that was one
so.
Of the greatest viewing episodes we've had
MacBook
in a while.
Pros. The 4-port MacBook Pros were limited by their total transfer speed on each side, whereas now each port on the new MacBooks are full speed. They're not slowed down by whatever else is plugged in. So you get the full 40 gigabits per second on each Type-C, which I would still say, okay, there's technically not four Thunderbolt ports, but you can do more with those three.
Dude.
So.
And we're never going to agree on this. Get rid of all the ports. What happened to Team USB-C?
No, it's
you
a
have,
genuine
you have
question,
betrayed
though.
The Apple sheepdom.
Because I like Apple and what they're doing?
Because you...
You haven't betrayed them?
Because you are not following your T-shirt. Your T-shirt says USB-C, not HDMI, MagSafe, and USB-C in an SD card slot.
It doesn't say only USB-C. Yes. I still have Type-C. You act like they removed it entirely. I'm all in favor of.
They've
you know,
compromised.
I wouldn't have minded.
I don't like
a,
compromise, Grant, Drew, Randy.
No, I'm just trying
to
argue.
I'm just
too
I'm
mad.
Just
right
here.
Can you think of a single use case? Can you think of a single use case that was possible with the 4-port MacBook that wasn't possible with this?
Easy.
One?
Having a beautiful computer that doesn't have a bunch of janky holes that are different sizes.
Janky holes.
So it's not a functional argument.
No, it's never been.
It's an aesthetic
Always
one.
Aesthetic.
Okay. Well, you were before you were advocating that this
I
was
I can
a
do everything
IO
I need
thing.
Off of one Thunderbolt 4 port. That's all I need. Charging, data, all that. One, that's all I want. Just one, folks, one. Two, if right. you want to be nice, okay, throw two in there. One on either side, I'm not going to complain. Or two on one side, I'm not going to complain. But when you add four, it's like, okay, well, that's for the pros, I guess. I guess I can compromise with a little bit of ugly holes, but at least they all look the same and they all do the same thing, so you don't have to think about which one's which and which side of the computer does the HDMI cable need to go on, because it's all just the same. But then you get all these ugly holes
they have limited
that
speeds,
have like,
though.
Oh, this one's big and chunky, so it's going to make the whole computer big and chunky because we can't have a beautifully thin design. Now the computer needs to look like it's from 2006 in a titanium G4.
With a better battery,
like, no.
Darn.
We don't like chunky. We like big, bulky adapters hanging out the side that you have to pack.
Don't
with
understand
that's
why
much cleaner
you guys
looking, right? I actually think you have to look at the ports on the adapter more than you would look at the ports on the MacBook.
Yeah.
Right. Because you have to find that adapter and plug
I'm
it in.
I'm looking at it
time.
Right now, and it's taking up space on my desk, and I want it go.
That reminds me, Randy, have you ordered your MacBook yet?
No, I was waiting for us to get to this point.
Okay.
I've been aggressively doing some digital cleaning, and I don't think I should order until I'm done because I no longer actually need 8 terabytes, whereas like 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh no, I need it because I'm over 4 terabytes. Of everything.
I'll see what I'm at.
Now I am down to a little over 2.5 terabytes. And not including... Okay. I guess 3 terabytes if we want to count what's on my the MacBook Air. But I want to see... I'm penny-pinching where I can here. Because unlike you, Drew, if they come out in the next year or two with a HDMI 2.1 or they even give you the better SD card slot with the faster data transfer, I can see myself selling that MacBook Pro to get the newer one at that point. I could see myself.
Mm. So are you out of the competition then?
Because I'm officially in the competition the moment I place.
Because before you were like,
yeah, but that's because I was gonna max it out. But the thing is, now I've saved myself what, $300-$500 to go from 8 to 4 terabytes, and that's the biggest jump. Yeah. And I can confidently say, as of right now, I don't need the 8 terabyte. And if I was to move my whole life onto a single location, the 4 terabyte will still do me okay. We've established 32 gigs is kind of overkill for me, and I'm okay with having a little overkill of RAM. I've thought about what you said about getting the baseline M1 Pro. The price difference between the 8 core and the 10 core does not matter the same way. Knowing that I haven't really had an issue with the M1, I could probably get by with the Bend M1 Pro, but I would feel more comfortable having the 10 for CPU power.
This is like me and 8 terabytes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could get by with 4, but I've used over 2 terabytes already. So I need to do some cleaning, but it just gives people some perspective. I have not had this very long, and I'm already at 5.8 available out of 8.
That makes my heart race for you.
It's the already thing, like, so, oh, here it goes. So I know I got to do some cleaning, but
go ahead.
I will admit, it's been so dang refreshing to just dump a crap ton of footage on this laptop and not have to worry about how much storage is on there. I know that's kind of a wasteful approach, because it'd be smarter to, after every project, go through and delete everything I don't need. But when I've got this trip coming up and I'm filming a bunch of videos in advance and we're filming side shots and whatnot, just being able to throw everything at it and I'm not thinking, oh, is it going to be filled, which is what I was doing with my iMac Pro. I'd be like, oh crap, it's full. Before I can even edit this video, I need to go offload a bunch of this, delete a bunch of this, and figure out what I can delete. This whole cleaning process, it's basically the data hoarder approach to go with 8 terabytes. You're just like, I don't want to take the time, or I don't have the time to go through and figure out what I can delete and not delete. So yes, it's insanely expensive, and yes, I could have totally lived with 4. I probably could have lived with 2. I did it with the iMac Pro. It's just, it's a little bit more uncomfortable at certain points. So I'm paying for comfort.
And that is a dollar worth spent if it gives you the peace of mind. And I support that. I encourage that.
So the 8-core M1 Pro is $200 cheaper than if you go with the... Are you getting a Bend GPU?
I'm thinking about the Bend GPU. I'm thinking about just getting the 16 core.
That's fair.
I feel like, am I going to do filters on my videos? Yes. At most, I'm going to do 4K, but it's not going to be ProRes. I don't have an interest in doing ProRes. And when the time comes, or if I need to do it, I'm sure I'll be in the market for a MacBook at that point. But until that day comes, I like using the better codec of just the compression works fine. I put myself of like, okay, if this is for content creation on the visual component side, you're watching me on YouTube. If you're watching this video now, it's on YouTube. If you're listening to it, then there's no GPU involved when it comes to if you're listening to us. But if you're watching this video, it's on YouTube.
We could do this on an iPod.
I do not need to overkill like that when we are, you know, not even a verified check mark on this podcast yet. So I don't. It is. Yeah. When we become verified,
Randy will.
When your boy becomes verified on something, at that point, we're gonna spend money like we're one of the Paul brothers or something.
Wow.
I know. All that to say though, the GPU part, I'm 1080 is probably where I'm going to be working off of, because I like smoother frame rate over higher resolution, knowing that if you're watching this on YouTube, most of you, I mm-hmm. look at the data, most of you are watching this on phones, mobile phones, or mobile devices. The resolution to me is not that big of a deal like that for my use case and stuff like that. So GPU is, I'm okay with doing that because of, I have to compare, how was the year performing with the M1? This is already better than the M1 chip with the GPU, and I've had no issue. Okay, not no, but I've had livable working environment with my M1 chip now. So the bin chip yes. is more than enough for what I need for the next, I can confidently say next 2 to 3 years before I would be like, ooh, well, maybe I should have. But even then, that's just not what it is. My videos aren't going to be long hours. My long form stuff is streaming, and it's not going to be 4K. It's not going to be edited. I'm streaming. So
at the, No. 4K streaming. Yeah,
so pointless. Again.
You probably have the internet to support that, though, Randy. I mean, out of anyone here, that's true. You could. Yeah. You just need a new 4K cam link. That's all.
I do have a 4K cam link.
Or I guess you,
you have could a technically 4K do it.
I do. I just choose not to do it because I don't want to.
It's just Twitch doesn't even support it for a reason, because there's a certain level of compression you always get mm-hmm. whenever you do a live broadcast, and YouTube supports it. I think I've done it a few years ago, but the noticeable difference between 1080 and 4K on a live broadcast so tiny. It's, I don't even think Apple live streams at 4K. No, I think they do 60 FPS, but not.
You got to see 4K. Those transitions and all the glory. We'll need 120 next year.
Right. Oh, I would love it. Promotion.
The promotion's now promotion in it. Yeah. So I'm looking before taxes, just a little over $3,500. And I'm asking myself, can I reduce that more? I think I'm gonna keep it at 4 terabytes regardless, just so I can have room to grow into it. Even though I think I can get it down to 2 terabytes. It's more mm-hmm. than I've ever had. I've been using half a terabyte since the iMac since 2015, so mm-hmm. I know I can live off of that for 6 years,
for
and
six
I
years.
Hate it every day of it. That way you said, you upload something, I'm out of space, now I gotta do this weird puzzle piece of kicking the rock down the road, move this here so I can move this here to move that there. I don't ever want to think about that. 4 terabytes I think is going to solve my problem for the life of this incoming MacBook Pro. If I order it now, I will get it by before mm-hmm. Christmas. I'll get it December 16th. I think it's just that
I would not upgrade. If I were you, I don't. You can do what you want. It's your life. But I would not upgrade for HDMI 2.1, just because whatever you want 2.1 for, Thunderbolt 4 can already do. So unless
did you hear
you're
that,
planning
Nick?
On plugging in 4 monitors, if you're needing 4 monitors, all of them to be over 4K and all of them to be over 120 hertz. Correct me, but I don't believe
that's not my use case. No,
I don't think that's what you're planning on.
And also, I have determined that the 14 inch would be my desired size, because I plan on event.
I want to see
it's
one.
It's so cute. I love it. It's bigger than. It's awesome cute. Just because it's the same power, and effectively has the same girth of what you're working with. It's just smaller. It's cool. I like holding it.
I like that.
But I plan on using this MacBook.
I genuinely thought Marquez was going to opt for the M1 Max.
I thought so too.
14 inch, because he, on his podcast and stuff, always used the smaller.
And he wanted
laptop.
And he cared about not and bringing another iMac with him ever again for his editing.
Right.
So
did he finally do that review?
Yes, today. Yep. Yesterday?
Oh, okay. He did. And he just last night, it was really late last night, but
I'll have to watch.
I know, because I was uploading my review, and then he dropped his, and I was like, this already happened, because I was uploading my AirPods 3 review, and then he dropped his AirPods 3 review, and I was like, okay. And then it just so happened to happen again with the MacBook, and I was like, is this on purpose? Should I wait? Should I like delay this launch?
No.
So I asked the channel members, and they were like, no, don't delay it. They were like, if anything, this might help you, because people will watch his review and then see your review right next to it.
I concur.
Mine's a bit more. His is like, this is next level, and mine's like, this laptop is a little you know, so it's a little different review technique. But I was watching the review as I was working on the thumbnail, and he says, you know what would be nice is if the power brick of the MacBook had Ethernet, just like the 24-inch iMac. And I was like, I said that too, but now everyone's going to think I got it from him.
Right.
But
you know why they're going to think you got from him? Because other days you upload moments after an announcement, so they think it's like, oh, all right, he's very quick. It's because you're not first. Now he's copying. You put that on yourself, Drew, for pre-recording things.
That's right. I haven't tried. He actually got really, really noticeable faster speeds when he turned on high power mode. And I have not used that once yet. So I'm
willing fearful to try that. Of I'm its battery. That's yeah, really that's what I'm saying. Like, I think battery? It's bad for the battery.
What if you're at... I'm still torn on the battery health thing because for the audience who doesn't know, basically Nick and Randy on the previous week were like, don't worry about the battery health. You know, you can leave it plugged in all the time. But then Mike chimed in while listening to the podcast, Model Y Mike, and he said it's still a battery just like any other lithium-based one, so you're going to want to keep it between 25 and 80 as much as possible. So that had me torn because what I notice is that when I leave it plugged in all the time, even though the source of power says wall plug or whatever, the battery is still at 100% that entire time. Like, is it fluctuating down to 80 even though it says it's 100? Or does it just keep it at 100% all day as long as it, even though the power is being pulled from something else? Like,
that's a good...
I don't know. I'm willing to... I think someone said there's a Mac app where you can customize that. I wish the MacBook needs Tesla OS. It needs a setting where you can control like daily charge, like take the battery all the way to 80% and then just stop and then pull power from the charger. Unless I go into settings and claim otherwise, like, hey, I'm going on a trip. Let's charge all the way up to 100. I would love that if it preserved battery health, but... I'm probably
that was
still
a, that was a very meta sure joke you did no about what, the Mac needing another OS. I love it. Oh, that's all.
There's a feature Teslas have that I wish the Mac had, which I never thought I'd say.
Honestly, I think I'd
wheels.
I tell you not to worry about it because no, I still stand by it. I trust that the developers and the engineers and everybody who has a hand in this have optimized preservation of battery. They just I think
I mostly trust it's fine. I'm not like super paranoid.
You're paranoid
about it,
right now because you're still in the honeymoon phase where you're babying it.
Well, I've spent a lot of money on this, so if there's any tiny detail I can make that will give it one more month of life. Like I don't mind whatever because right now it's so easy. Like I could easily leave this plugged in for a week or it'd be super duper easy, thanks to MagSafe, to just unplug it whenever it's at 80.
By a chop.
Plug it back in MagSafe when it's at 20, which is what I just did.
Drop it, and then...
Yeah. You can just... It's so easy for me to just leave it between 80 and 20, and it's also so easy for me to leave it at 100 that I'm just like, just tell me which is better, and no one can give me a straight answer.
Ask Apple.
Well, there's contradictory answers. I guess there's straight answers, but Apple will just say leave it plugged in all the time. But I don't trust them because they would rather my battery go bad.
Careful, you're starting to sound like Rossman.
So it's in their best interest.
Careful.
Rossman's not
you're
wrong
right.
on everything.
On everything.
Not by much. But I'm wrong on more things than Rossman is. But I just want to know any tiny difference I can make. Because I understand the argument of, like, let the power come from the wall, not from the battery. That'll preserve the cycles, right? But then on the other hand, it's like leaving the battery at 100% for weeks and never letting it go down.
But my battery, see,
I don't know.
My example, right now I'm just doing what I've been doing with the M1,
mixture.
The battery does go down. It's sitting at 90% and it's not charging. It just has the indicator. It's been at 90 for the last,
Really?
The thing is, it initially put it to 100, and when it realized that I'm not undocking it or using it, it let the battery drop, and it says it's not charging, and then it held it in place at 90. Right now, it's at 90. And it's not, it doesn't have the lightning bolt on the battery. It has the wall plug. Yeah.
It has the and plug.
It's not charged.
Okay. So I need to give it time to learn my... Well, I don't know if I'm helping, though, because I have a weird charging... I don't have a predictable charging habit.
It's fine
because
I think once it starts to lose energy... Or not energy, but battery. Once it starts to lose... I guess energy. Once it starts to lose battery, it didn't try to juice again. It juiced it to 100, and it very quickly... I sit at my desk, and I watch it jump from the lightning bolt to the wall outlet. And I'm like, oh, okay. I know what that means. It's not charging it anymore. Yeah. And it just drops, and it does...
So it goes. It does go below 100.
My indicator even holds it. It tells me it's at like 85 or 80, and it shows the adjusted battery as well. So it doesn't look like it's on a full charge. And it's just not charging it. And then the moment I unplug it, and I go into whatever room, and I'm gone for a couple hours, I come back. It will assess where the battery's at. Then if it's still like at 80 or whatever, it doesn't do anything when I plug it back in. But if I'm really aggressively using it and it's now down to 50%, it starts juicing it again. And that's why I'm saying that like Apple is already adjusting for this stuff and it's not holding it at 100. My laptop is hardly ever at 100. So, and the battery health is at 100%. And okay. I've had it since March.
Mine likes to keep holding it at 100. I think I just need to wait.
But also, you have the 16-inch. Like, it's going to be, by technicality, it's going to be at 100 for about a month before it starts to drop just because the battery's so big. So, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
That's true.
The thing is, I would love to have that type of battery size with the 16-inch. Really, but the 14-inch is more compatible or more portable. And I plan on using it for, like, eventually, within the life of the MacBook, I would like to do live shows again. And it's almost like my sound rig, and I need to have it for Logic and Main Stage and stuff, and I need something portable. I don't want this heavy thing being top heavy and tipping over, so I've already accepted 14 inches what I'm going to use for my use case. But you knowing that, it's like, okay, I'm doing the YouTube stuff here, the 16 inch and the battery, I would give it complete faith that your battery knows how to keep itself from degrading for no reason why it's just gonna die. I think it's gonna adjust. Just be patient with it. And those days when you're gone and you're traveling and you're not plugged in, it's gonna adjust for that too. I heard from Marquette, from freaking everybody, the M1 Max is gonna do worse to your battery of just like using it because of all that extra core power that you're gonna be having. But
the display.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm going with the Pro 2. Like, I'll go with the Pro. I want to save the battery too. I guess that's another thing I didn't even think about. Anyway, all that, I trust for you in your case, it's going to be calculated on where the battery needs to sit when it chooses to charge and not charge. It'll just know. That's my belief.
Yeah, I'll just leave it plugged in then. Because you're the first story I've heard that the percentage will go down when it's plugged in. So I'm just going to... let it top itself off all the time.
It drops. Yeah.
I trust.
I maybe because I'm the only person, because Mike has an iMac, so I suspect it's not that his information was wrong when he told you that. It's just him using the iMac that he has. Just like when I was using my iMac, I had nothing to go off of, and this is my first MacBook in a long time, and it's M1, and it's adjusting for all this new stuff. It's not charging, and it'll let the battery fall. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not bad. Smart. Yeah, you'll see it.
Okay. Cool. Do you have closing thoughts before we wrap up?
I hate that MacBook Pro so much.
How dare you?
Really?
I hate it.
I never got that impression from you. I thought you loved it.
I hate it a lot.
I don't think so.
Interesting. I love you guys, though. I hate your choice in MacBooks, but I love you guys.
I love that you love the iMac, and I'm like, that's a beautiful iMac. Drew, I love that you love your MacBook. That's a beautiful MacBook. It's all love here, baby. So just embrace the love, Nick.
Randy has nothing but love. All you need.
Love is all you need. All
right.
Copyright strike. Well,
have a good vacation. Enjoy your time in South America.
Catch you next week.
next week. The following week. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Send you a postcard from Paradise Falls.
Aww.